Let's see if we can do a little Q&A here.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope I have the answers.
I hope you have the answers too. Francis, how long have you served with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission?
In about another month. Well, maybe not quite a month. It'll be 25 years.
25 years. Wow. It's a long time.
I was really, really young. No.
She's using my line too.
Oh, I didn't know that was yours. Sorry.
No, I just tell people that I was married at age 12. That's, you know,
sounds like
people can hardly believe that,
yeah,
I've been married as long as I have. I was just wondering also, where do you serve?
I serve on the Peguis Fisher River Reserves in the Interlake part of Manitoba. That's about 2 hours straight north of Winnipeg.
Okay. Is that on the east side or the west side of the lake?
It's in between the two lakes, right in the Interlake. Closer, well, Peguis kind of in the middle, but closer to the east side.
Peguis Reserve, is that a large reserve?
It's the largest reserve in Manitoba area-wise, not population-wise. Norway House beats us.
Okay. What are the languages that the people on the Peguis Reserve speak?
English. I don't know if anybody speaks the Ojibwe language, which I think was their original language anymore.
Okay. Okay, well, Lord bless you as you share the ministry. And there's a display outside. Please take the opportunity to visit with Frances a little later and ask her all kinds of questions and find out a little more and take some of the material, and that way you can find out a little more about her ministry. Lord bless you, sister.
Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and share with you this morning. It's a real privilege to be here and to share some of the things that God is doing in my part of His world. I want to thank you for praying for me, for giving to me financially. No missionary could be on the field anywhere in this world if it wasn't for people like you, back in their home churches, in their home places, who pray and to give. I want to expand a little bit on the video we saw with NCM's work. NCM's desire really is to partner with Native believers, and the mission has been around for more than 60 years. It started in 1946. And the vision is to plant multiplying Indigenous churches. Indigenous meaning that it's Indigenous to the area of the people where the church is, whether that's the Peguis Reserve and the white population around it as well, not just the Native church, but whatever is indigenous to that area. NCM has used many different ways of doing this over the years. You saw some of it with the DVD. Media, whether it's been radio, television, has been a big part of NCM's ministry. And right now they do a TV program called Tribal Trails. I'm not sure if anybody in this area knows of it, but I have a couple, I think there's three Tribal Trails DVDs that you're welcome to take off the back table. If anybody knows their testimonies from Native people, if you can use that in any way, please take them. I also have copies of the DVD that you saw. You're welcome to take those too. Maybe you want to go through it a little more and watch it a little again. You're very welcome to take that off the back table as well. Literature is another big thing. You can see NCM has printed all the literature that's back on the table there, except for the stuff that says Fisher Bay Bible Camp. And there's a couple of things about Fisher Bay Bible Camp there. I'll get to the camp. I'll mention it again later. There's people in the office. There's all kinds of people who work with NCM in very many different areas. Not everybody is out on a field. Well, I shouldn't say field, because I think no matter where you are, you're on a mission field. Even the people sitting in the office working at the computers or keeping track of the finances and receipting are all missionaries too. I'm one of their field missionaries, and I would like to tell you a little bit about what I do personally. As I said, it's almost 25 years since I've been with the mission. The first 2 years I spent in New Brunswick, Now, I always told people it was northern New Brunswick in case they got confused that northern Canada, but it was way further south than we are now. But I worked with the Mi'kmaq people for 2 years. And then God called me back to pretty much my home area. I grew up in the area that I'm serving. And I do live in a Métis community called Fisher Bay. There's about 20 homes there. And I think some of you are familiar with Fisher Bay Bible Camp. It is one of our FBC camps. And I do live right across the highway from the camp. I just have to say this because I go to camp all summer, but I can sleep in my own bed. That's a real positive for me. And I work on primarily two reserves, the Peguis, as we mentioned, and Fisher River, and an outreach somewhat to the third reserve, which is Jackhead, and that's primarily to Bible Camp. Because we talked to Peguis, I need to tell you that Fisher River is not Ojibwe, they're Cree, and I know more people who speak Cree there than anybody on Peguis that speaks their native language. Jackhead is also a Cree reserve. Just to give you an idea how big they are, Peguis Reserve in their school from nursery to grade 12 will have about 1,000 students. Fisher River is smaller. There's only about 400 to 500 students in that area, and Jackhead is still smaller than that. There are many, many people around there, many children, and I do work primarily with children. My activities kind of divide into winter and summer. I'll talk about the winter activities first, although they're all interrelated. One of the things I do in winter is follow up from Bible Camp, which is my summer activity. And I do that through different ways. One of the ways is through Awana Cross Trainers. I don't know if you're familiar with Awana here, but it's a program for boys and girls. Cross Trainers is a program that they actually don't really run anymore, except some of us diehards in Manitoba. I know somebody else who still does it. But it was originally developed to work in inner city kids, but it works really well on reserves with the native children. I do two of those, one on Tuesday evening in the church in Dallas, and I've had close to 40 different children come. Not on the same night, because I'm the only adult there, and if you think 20 kids is a terrorist group, can you imagine 40 grades three to six in a room at a time with one adult? I think I'd leave. That's what I told our pastor anyways if that happened. And I know more kids would come. A lot of kids don't have rides. And I have a group of kids that always come with me because I can't justify driving down the highway with an empty car. Now, I don't overload my car. I try very hard not to do that. But every week I have to say no to some children. I just don't have room for them. And it's sad to do that, but I can't take them. So that's a prayer request that parents would be more interested in finding rides for the kids. Now, some people really just don't have vehicles. On Wednesday after school, I'm in the Hodson Church doing cross trainers again. Most of the kids there come off the school bus from the Fisher Branch School, which is off reserve. And usually it's been a small group. I was really shocked this past fall when I had 5 new children come. I didn't have material ready for them, but I was very thankful for the teenage helpers who come there. And the one girl was able to carry on while I went and photocopied more of the material I needed. So I really thank God for those helpers. And I need to share this with you. The teenage boy, he must be about 14, in their Sunday school, in their basement, they had a list of names of God. And Jesus' name was on there. And he said to me, "Why is Jesus' name on there? Is he God?" He has been in Cross Trainers, I'm sorry to say, but he grew up through the program and has been in some Sunday school and church. His mother's a Christian, but he never put it together that Jesus really is God. So it was a unique opportunity, just very casual, to explain that to him. And, you know, our video talks about, you know, our lives. We need to be ready to answer when those opportunities come up. God brings those across our paths. Another thing happened at this cross trainers is that, as I said, the kids come on the bus. Now, it's this bus driver that runs that bus route has driven many years. And he's a man who really loves children, but he's not a Christian man. Now, I'd found out, because my family, some of my brothers and sisters go to that church in Hudson, that he had been in church on Sunday. He had a new neighbor who's a Christian and goes to that church and invited him to come along. But once he was done his route, he stopped back at the church, and this was in winter. He had some toques and mitts that some of the kids left on. I'm not sure how many bus drivers would stop, knowing where these kids were, to bring them to them so they had them. And he came down the basement, and he brought the toques and the mitts back, and then he asked the kids what they were doing. And so they told them they were playing games, which we do at Cross Trainers. Then we had stories and learning Bible verses. And he goes, Bible verses? I learned Bible verses 50 years ago. And he starts quoting. He goes, I think it started like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, or the something to that effect. He's starting to quote John chapter 1, verse 1. I've known this man for many years. That surprised me. It reminded me of God's word in Hebrews 4, verse 12, where it talks about God's word being living and active. 50 years later, and those are his words of how long it was, those words were still living and active in his life. Now, I know he's not a Christian yet, but Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11 say, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields its seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That purpose has not been accomplished in Peter's life yet. He actually told me that it was against his religion to come to church very often. But he saw we had a kitchen in the basement there, and he said, if they have a meal here, let me know. So there's different types of hunger, and just pray for Peter. I'm waiting to see where this will lead. And this really encouraged me, because I teach children, and we learn Bible verses, and sometimes I don't see them. As they grow up, they don't walk with God. They make bad choices. But this was encouraging to know 50 years later, this man still knew those words that he had memorized. He had actually won a New Testament for it. And he told me he was going to look for it and see if he could still find it. He told me he had a green cover, so he must have remembered it well. The majority of the children in the Awanas and even the Bible clubs are not children who come from homes where God is honored. Most of them are not brought up in Christian homes. Most of them are not brought to church. These are special things they come to. The other thing I do throughout the week is two Bible clubs, one at my house on Monday night and one on the Pegwiss Reserve in a private home on Thursday afternoons. And I get to see some more kids, some of them from camp, some of them who've never been to camp. One of the girls who comes to Cross Trainers in Dallas this year, I don't think her family would allow her to come to camp, but they allow her to come to Cross Trainers. And so she hears about God that way. You may wonder why I work with children and why we need it in an area Canada has lots of exposure to the gospel, except I know kids who only know the name Jesus Christ as a swear word. They never know him as God or somebody who loves them and died for them. They don't know who Adam and Eve are. They've never heard. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. On Thursdays, I also have a small youth group in my house. Now, I enjoy working with the children. Youth group is not my comfort zone, but God doesn't expect us or keep us in our comfort zone. I've had fun with this youth group. It's been small, maybe 3 to 5 teenagers. And it's been a chance to try and disciple these children. Most of them have been to camp and at one point made a commitment to Christ, but they don't live in homes that God has honored. And so Mike talked about discipleship before in Sunday school, and that's part of my job, is to disciple them with teaching, but also living in the community. This Bible, our youth group is right in my home, too, only for my local kids. It's why I started it, because they didn't go anywhere else. And I need to disciple them. I also teach Sunday school, so in case you didn't think I was busy enough throughout the week, I try and stay out of trouble that way. I want to thank you for praying for the church in Dallas. We got a pastor at the beginning of November last year, and I just praise God for that. Kevin and Janice Sims have been fitting in really well. God really moved through the Bible camp to get them there as Kevin was counselor last summer. And if you want to know more about that, come and ask me later. It's quite a story of God's moving in their lives. And that's pretty much my winter activities. Would usually end by about the end of April, because by then the weather is nicer, the days are longer, and none of us want to be inside. We all want to be outside, especially this year, so it was nice early. That brings me to summer. May and June is kind of transition time for me, and that's when I get ready for Bible camp. Even now I'm thinking, okay, what do I need to do? I'm starting to get registrations in. I work as the registrar at the Bible camp, so all the registrations come through me. I run the tuck shop, and I teach the handcraft skill as well as with follow-up. Like I said, it kind of goes full circle. Fisher Bay Bible Camp, in case you don't know, runs 1 week for ages 11 to 13-year-olds, 3 weeks of ages 8 to 11, and 1 week of ages 13 to 16-year-old. And then we have an overnight camp, and this has only been gone, I think this is the third or fourth year now, where it's an overnight camp for ages 5 to 7, an introduction to camp for the little kids, and they don't have to spend the night. They can go home for the night if they want. And we also have a four-day camp for ages 17 to 19, which we started because the 16-year-olds, when they turned 17, were too old to come to camp, but they still wanted that experience. So we started this. It runs more like a youth retreat than a regular camp does to fill that gap in their lives. Now, I don't know if many of you were at the Fisher Bay Bible Camp fundraising banquet in Steinbach, but one of the young women who gave her testimony said, I begged Fran to come back another year, and you know what she did? I did say no, and I've said no to others, but that's why we started the camp. Both testimonies of former campers or adults now said camp was a safe place in the chaos of their lives. And that's what camp seeks to be. If you're interested in Fisher Bay Bible Camp, at the back table, I have our new camp brochures out there. I also have a little paper that tells about the camp website. If you're interested, look it up on the website. I think it's up today. I don't have the internet, so I haven't checked it out lately. Yeah, but I know it's up today. It's updated quite often, so there's interesting things there if you want. I look forward to the time when my support is where it can be, that I can have the internet. I would love to do registrations and all that stuff over online, because that's just the way our world is going, and so many people are online. Like I said, if you want more information about camp, talk to me later. I don't think I can tell you about what the staff needs are, and I'm not sure if our director Cardell's coming here at all this spring or not, but I can give you contact numbers if you're interested. That's pretty much sums up my year. I do take holidays. September is my month. Usually I have a conference with NCM right after camp. This year we had it the first week in May. Not sure what I'm going to do except sleep after camp this year. Last year I didn't have the opportunity to. Our camp ended on Sunday and I had to be at conference on Monday. Fortunately, it was in Pinawa, which is just over a three-hour drive for me. I had the shortest drive of any of our missionaries throughout Canada. I was really excited. By after 3 hours, I was ready to get off the road. It wasn't safe anymore. I would just like to conclude with a couple of prayer requests. Well, maybe a few more than a couple. One is, remember Peter that I mentioned. I'm still looking forward to see what God's going to do with that word that has gone out 50 years ago. Pray for the camp and the staff needs. Pray for me. I get really tired by the end of, 7 weeks of camp. My support is also a concern. Pray for safety. I travel a lot on the roads. just pray that I will be wise. I have seen so much during the last couple of weeks that coming home from church last Sunday afternoon, the last curve coming into Fisher Bay, anybody who's been there, all of a sudden out of my side vision, I see this deer in full jump. I slam on the brakes, move to the middle of the road. The deer must have slammed on the brakes too, because we did not collect, and I didn't see it anymore. So, but I saw a deer Wednesday night coming home from Bible study as well. There's all kinds of safety concerns being on the road. I have hit a deer in the past. I hit it very softly. I only cracked the grill on my car, but $1,000 worth of damage. But other people have totaled cars. Pray for safety, especially when I have children in the car with me. And for wisdom in all the activities, that I would do the thing God wants me to do, and to be available to the people that I come across to hear their stories and to hear their concerns. And again, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and share. Come and meet me afterwards. I have a cold, but I'll try not to give you the germs. By the way, I'm not quite sure it's not an allergy either, but we'll go with cold for now. So come and talk to me. Take the literature at the back that's available there. Read it. Ask questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis, for the sharing of the ministry. And Peter is, I met Peter.
Oh, okay.
So, at least I think I did. He's a bus driver.
Yeah, Bosick.
Bringing kids even to church. Is that right?
I'm not sure if he has.
No,
I don't know.
Might be somebody else then.
Might be somebody else. Yeah.
I know that Les and I had met a bus driver the last time we were up in Hodgson. Anyway, we're going to pray for Francis. And maybe you don't know where Fisher Bay is. Maybe you don't know where Fisher Branch. In between the lakes, that means something to us from Manitoba. But for some of you, it doesn't mean very much. But you can find out. You just drop by the booth and talk with Francis.
I have a small map back there. I'll show you.
Yeah. Okay. And if you want to know where the mosquitoes reside and the fish flies.
Winkler.
Winkler. Right. That's right.
Oh,
Winkler.
Maybe not fish flies.
No, not fish
flies. Those are in Gimli.
Yeah. Well, let's pray together. Francis, thank you so much for your ministry. Lord, we thank you for what we have seen on the DVD. Reminder that there is a people group here in Canada that need to hear the good news. We thank you for the men and women who serve with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission and other missions to reach the Aboriginal people, First Nations people. We thank you that Frances has an opportunity weekly to meet with young people. Thank you for her perseverance, the long number of years that she has served with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. Thank you, Lord, that you have also used her with Fisher Bay Bible Camp. Lord, you know the needs in her life. You know her need for financial support. You know her need for wisdom. Her willingness, Lord, to be available to these young people. Lord, you know that also many of these young people want to come to Cross Trainers and don't have opportunity. We pray that you would impress it upon their parents to be open to bringing them to a place where they can learn about you. We also pray, Lord, that you would protect Frances as she travels daily and different activities. Grant her your guidance, and Lord, may she rest assured that you are leading her from day to day. We also pray, Father, that you would bless the ministry of Northern Canada Evangelical Mission, and that many would come to know you as a result. And so today, Father, we partner with Frances in our desire to continue to pray with her and help her wherever we can, and to remember her, Lord, in her labors, undertake for the burdens that she carries personally, and Father, for the needs that she has. We pray that many young people will grow in their walk and their faith with you. In Jesus' name, amen.